How long did the silence feel? Did it seem to last forever? Could you feel your muscles tense as you waited for words to make this precious hour of time together productive? Were you trying to figure out why a sermon would begin with silence in this way? How was I to illumine the fourth commandment for our modern hearing? Did your mind flip the channel to last night's game? If only they didn't rush to the bullpen so soon. Did you add milk to the grocery list in your head? Perhaps you knew exactly what the silence was for, but hearing age-appropriate sounds and movements in the midst kept you from completing that task. God commanded God's people to remember and to keep the Sabbath. As the Israelites set out into the promised land, building, growing, expanding, God gives them commandments as they work and toil. Have no other gods besides me. Do not create idols or little g gods out of crafts or people. Do not misuse the name of God. And the fourth is remember and keep the Sabbath holy. It is not a suggestion, but a command. It is not trivial or trite, but it is crucial, critical, and necessary. We know the Israelites struggled with this. They had a hard time pulling themselves away from a life of endless production, for God had to command them to rest. Does anyone here struggle with keeping the fourth commandment? I'm seeing some hands go up. It really does feel good to be back in worship after 2 weeks of vacation. However, I must confess that with 3 children, rest doesn't look like it did 6 years ago. We have to keep busy, keep moving, or we get demanding, combative, pugnacious. And so a quick Google search for free family activities in Central Ohio pointed us to the Anthony Thomas Chocolate Factory. If you have ever been there, you know that the front door of Anthony Thomas opens into the chocolate showroom. Mouth-watering displays welcome you into the factory with chocolate-covered fruits and nuts of all types. On the tour, which I highly recommend, they share the family's history, the sourcing and chocolate-making process, and how dockside inspections ensure cocoa imports meet their high standards. They then took us up to this catwalk, which overlooks the entire factory floor. Machines, silver pipes flowing with chocolate, and many workers busy themselves to complete hundreds of tasks. Conveyor belts zip, trays wheeled here and there. There is something to look at anywhere you look. However, what caught my eye most was a machine moving very rapidly, packaging individual chocolate candies at breakneck speed. And so our tour guide asked us, how many chocolates do you think this machine can wrap in 1 minute? And the answer was about 400 every minute. This particular batch was wrapping Reese's Halloween pumpkins, which will be added to the give or take 600 million pounds of chocolate to be produced by October 31st this year. And so in awe, we watched as this machine wrapped piece after piece, pouring the final product in a box ready to ship. So in that 3 minutes we just took, over 1,200 pumpkins would have been wrapped and boxed. Last October, Walmart sold a bag containing 65 of those same Reese's pumpkins for $20 each. And so I've done the math, and in our 3 minutes of silence, they would have cashed out at $3,692.30. Who would stop a machine if you are pulling profits like that? You would be an irresponsible business person if you flipped that switch from anything but on. And so the machine stays on. It keeps running. In fact, engineers are on standby to fix it at a moment's notice. More is always better. And somehow, we have internalized that in our own lives. We have been taught to be like machines. Our society is in constant motion. For some of us, we have been sold that what we need, what will make us content and happy, is stuff. The newest or perfect vehicle, the latest iPhone, the lake home we can retire to. For me, confession, it is a new drum or a new baseball card for my Cleveland Guardians collection. If we get that one thing, if we get that signed Bob Feller card, oh, I won't ask for anything else. However, when we do get it, a newer model has already come out, or we see the shiny thing our neighbor has, a new thing to be in motion for. This motion has been dubbed retail therapy. But it's not enough. Now, it's not always about physical stuff. In this information age, it's easy to be addicted to knowing stuff. Useful or not, news banners chime on our phone to interrupt our day with breaking news. Podcasts or Substack articles keep every spare moment productive. Sometimes we turn on the TV and leave the news on in the background. Endless chatter, endless commentary about things going on in the world. We scroll for hours on social media, learning and taking in overwhelming amounts of information about everything and nothing. So not retail therapy, but information therapy. If I could just know more, read one more book, I would be content and fulfilled. But that is not enough. And then there is the motion that is just plain addicted to work and doing. Whether in the office or at home in retirement, there is always an urgent chore or project to get done, an email to send, a task to complete, a crossword to get done. Even work that is serving and volunteering can be addictive to the point we neglect our relationships or our own needs. And so the term we have for this is not as nice as throwing therapy at the end, but it is more to the point. Workaholic. If I can do more, make a bigger difference, perhaps be praised for doing it, then I will be complete. But that is never enough. We are machines programmed to the gods of free markets. We are machines that have to gather all the information, machines that refuse to power off and rest. Have you ever felt that in your own life? Walter Brueggemann writes this. He says, the reality of restlessness in our contemporary society is obvious and epidemic. We have created a contemporary circumstance in our society that generates an endless pursuit of greater security and greater happiness, a pursuit that is always unsatisfied because we have never gotten or done enough yet. The fourth commandment that Greg read for us is not a random command plucked out of thin air. But there is a footnote that links it to the creation story. Growing up in Sunday school, I thought, of course, God rested on the seventh day of creation. God just got done making all of this. the sun, daffodils, giraffes, worms, blue jays, us. God had to sit down and catch God's breath. God was going to break if God had to do just one more thing or design one more type of ant. But I'm rethinking that. Part of me believes God had to rest on the seventh day, not because God was tired, but because it's who God is. God is not a workaholic. God is not an anxious perfectionist. The well-being of creation does not depend on endless altering and tweaking. God rested because Monday through Saturday, God was in the office doing and so much, and the purpose of creation was not about manufacturing creation. The purpose of creation was covenantal, relational, communal, spending quality time with what God gave birth to, and then loving it. Genesis 2, verses 2 through 3. On the sixth day, God finished the work that God had done, and God rested on the seventh day from all the work that God had done. So God blessed the seventh day. God hallowed it. God made it holy because on it, God rested to be with creation. Let's not miss this. God clearly commands us to do work. Good work. Hard work. Work to be proud of and have purpose in. However, our 6 days of work are incomplete without being connected to those around us, connected with creation and nature, and with the God that shines through it all. The best part of the chocolate factory was not the tour. It was not the wrapping machine or seeing liquid chocolate pour into molds. Well, that was great. It wasn't any part of the factory experience. The best part of the chocolate factory tour is that in the end, and some of you know this, they give you a piece of chocolate. You saw the work, good work, meaningful work. But when you take a bite and you savor it, that taste answers the why we are all searching for. The psalmist who wrote Psalm 34 says it better, saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. God's praise shall be in my mouth. My soul makes a boast in the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt God's name together. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you went to bed last night, there was no promise that you would get up this morning. None of us can say with complete certainty if we will be here tomorrow or even an hour from now. We have lived long enough to witness tragedy. But you did wake up this morning. You did get out of bed. You got dressed. You came to church. You were offered food and donuts and coffee and water. You came, you sat in your pew. You've prayed. You've sang. You've passed peace with someone. You've shared Christ's peace and God's love. You are alive. Yes, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow, but today you woke up, and by the grace of God, you are here. And so if you are grateful, I invite you to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, if you're grateful, say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you're grateful, say, thank you, Spirit.
Thank you, Spirit.
Because when we take time to pause and say, thank you, God, we recognize this gift of being alive. When we taste and see that the Lord is good, we have this new transformed capacity to experience joy. Joy that God has surrounded us with incredible people we get to share this life with. Joy in what we taste, hear, smell, and touch. joy bursting through each blessing, joy that this is the day that God has made. You are not a machine. You are a human being. You are not a machine. You are part of a loving family, a loving faith family, and you belong just as you are. You are not a machine because you are a beloved child of God. You don't need a title before your name. You don't need another degree. You don't need the latest car or tech. You don't even need to be okay. You just need to be. We are commanded to just be. And our Sabbath-taking God waits for us in that moment. When we are present to God's presence, we let God hold us, speak to us, listen to us, and love us. And we will discover that all we need is already here. Amen.